And what's going to happen is when I really need it, something's going to go wrong. So rather
Here we
than
go.
put myself through that type of shit, let me fix it, you know?
All right, here we go,
Let me get
man.
it now. You ready? Okay, let me mute myself.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to have just an off-the-cuff chat between you and me. Us. We want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand. And during the few moments that we have left, we want to have just an awesome.
Sorry about that. We've been having technical difficulties starting up this evening. Welcome to another episode of Real Life with your host, Brother Roz, myself, Jenna. Tonight is Tuesday, October the 16th, 2018. Thank you for joining us tonight. Brother Roz, how are you doing this evening? Brother Roz.
Oh, I have myself muted. My bad. I'm good. I'm still learning like you are. How's everything with you?
Still learning as well. Before we get started tonight, we'll get a few things out the way. We are being broadcast by Black Talk Radio Network, home of Tando, home of BTR News with Scotty Reed, home of the Cows. If you appreciate what you get from any of these programs and all of the other programs that I did not mention, donate to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Very much appreciated. Brother Roz, how are you this evening?
Hey, it's been a hectic day, but a good one. I was looking forward to tonight's program because there's just a lot to discuss. And, you know, I think it's going to be quite productive, I would say. And hopefully the people who listen and call in, that they also find it to be constructive as well. I believe it will be, because I think it's a necessary discussion, and it'll end up being an ongoing discussion over time, but we're not going to, you know, stick to it for the next, like, 1,000 episodes. But,
well,
but
yes.
Tonight's show, I think, is quite necessary. Go ahead. I'm sorry about that.
No, I was agreeing with you. You know, this ain't, it ain't nothing that none of us want to talk about, but it's something that needs to be spoken of. Because you say this all the time, in order to operate within this system, you have to be a little crazy yourself.
Absolutely.
I think it's
Yeah, that is something I sincerely believe, because it's something that I've lived personally, and it's something that I see all the time. And it's not something I say to be negative, because when I say it, I'm speaking of myself as well. So I don't ever want anyone to think that I'm trying to distance or separate myself from my reality. So when I do say that, I mean everyone, including myself. And that's just natural. I mean, it's Baba Hiawatha Kamana, Baba Hiawatha Kamana, who actually said, you know, that Black people aren't sick. We have been infected by sick people. You know, and that's basically the same way of saying what I'd say. You know, in order for us to function in a way in which, because I really think that our society is barely suppressed chaos. Like, I think it would take absolutely nothing for the entire country to just go up in flames. And Malcolm said it back in the 60s, you know, race is going to be that thing that destroys this nation. And, you know, in order to wake up and not be rioting every day and not wanting to just be overtly violent with not just, you know, white people, but just with anybody, because this system makes you crazy. You lash out at everything and everyone. So in order for you not to be like that 24 hours a day, you have to have a touch of crazy, because you get to a place where you have to be at peace for that, at peace on some level with what you're dealing with daily, in order for you to function in it in a way in which you're not acting out all the time. And that's what I mean when I say we all have to be touched by the insanity, be touched by insanity in order to survive and deal and dwell in a system as sick as this, and not be like just losing it every single minute of every day. And that's pretty much how I'll put it.
I agree. Hopefully I said it
in a way that it makes sense.
No, it made plenty of sense to me. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think the one of the bigger issues after that is acknowledging it. You know what I'm saying? Understanding that we are that way, and being able to spot the ones that you understand you could be like that at some point, and just avoid them nearly fully.
Mm-hmm.
Minimize contact to minimize conflict.
That is my way of life. And like I said, and I've said it 1,000 times, as I've come to better understand the system, I better understand why my family is as fragmented as it is. And when I say fragmented, I'm not just speaking of my relatives on the island back home, in the island back home. I'm speaking about my immediate family, my mother, my father, and the one sibling, my sister, older sister that I came into this world with. That my family's completely fragmented, and I don't deal with any of them. And it's not by choice. It's just by the fact that, you know, our family's jacked up, and it's just a bunch of really damaged black people. And I didn't really want to have to continue to subject myself, that I was trying to move to a place of black self-respect, where a lot of the things my parents taught me, I did strive to live those things. And the way that the system is manifested in the psyche of my family, that has kind of fallen apart throughout my life. So I really lived that. And in order to do that, I couldn't deal with the stuff that came with having them in my life in that way. So I had to make that decision. You know, was it painful? Quite a bit. Most of my life I spent dealing with it, but now it's to the point where it's pretty much what it is. I love them. You know, I wish them all the best, but I love them over there. And that's pretty much what it is. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So, like I said, when I talk about this system, when I talk about the insanity of it, I am speaking directly in the mirror first before I'm speaking on any airwaves to anyone else. And that's all I wanted to say on that subject. But I just had to reiterate that truth, because it's my truth. It's the actual facts of my family situation. And doesn't, you know, there's nothing that I seek to hide, because it's reality. And I've never been one to hide from the truth. So that's just the way that I am. But yeah, we can move on.
No, you're ready. I understand. Again, just to present that question, that conversation. But we get angry so fast. And that just speaks to what you were just saying just a second ago, though. But let's get into some of these articles, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. And if you was trying to find the post I had made for this, not really sure what happened to the link. We just, once again, had some technical difficulties, and we're still trying to resolve those. But, Raj, you want to get into those articles?
Yeah, definitely, because they're all health-related, and who knows who this information will help, but I'm hoping that it does. So this first one is from the silveredge.com, and I would just tell everyone, please take time to save that site to your bookmarks and just peruse it, because it is, I would say, it has the most comprehensive up-to-date information on colloidal silver and the many things that it cures or helps alleviate the symptoms of. Whether they're clinical studies or direct personal anecdotes from people who actually suffered from certain illnesses, use colloidal silver and it transformed their lives. So I would say, if you have any questions about silver and the different things it can do, what its potential limitations are, because they give you comprehensive information about it. And they also sell colloidal silver generators on that site. The ones they sell are quite expensive. I got mine on Amazon for a lot cheaper. So if anyone wants that information, you can always hit me up at raskeille@comcast.net. And I can send you the information for the machine that I have. I think everyone should be making their own, especially with all the things that Dave has talked about on Tando. We have a lot of major things that are happening, and a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about over the years, it's accelerating as far as just what's happening in the world and how it's taking shape to create a horrific situation here when everything finally does, you know, hit the fan. So I would say colloidal silver would be a life-saving thing. I use it for so many things on a daily basis that I can't begin to tell you, whether it's brushing my teeth, preventing spoilage of food, and it works for all of those things because I use it for that. Fixing, dealing with open wounds, just such a myriad of things. I would just say it's something that you have to have because it will transform the way you live your life and help keep you healthy and safe. So yes, this first article from Silver Edge is colloidal silver versus flu shots and Tamiflu. So let me just, okay, so the little blurb, it says colloidal silver versus flu shots and Tamiflu. The argument is heating up again over whether or not the flu vaccine and antiviral drug Tamiflu are worth it. And quite surprisingly, one of the world's leading reviewers of clinical studies, the Cochrane Review, is saying neither the flu shot nor Tamiflu provide much. I'm opening it just because I just want to read just the beginning part because this stuff is just ridiculous to get these shots anymore. So it says neither the flu shot or Tamiflu provide much benefit at all. On the other hand, anecdotal accounts by the hundreds attest to the value of taking colloidal silver on a daily basis during cold and flu season. And even some doctors are agreeing. Here's a story that you're not being told. So they go into more information about this, but I, matter of fact, my job, just what's today, Tuesday? Last week, Thursday and Friday, they were giving free flu shots on my job. I said, I don't do flu shots. I said, I never have, and he will not be sticking me with that. I remember my mother took it. She got sick with the flu one year real bad and got a severe case of bronchitis, and she's an asthmatic, so that made it 100 times worse. And my mother still gets the flu shot. She believes it, you know, what the doctors say, and I said, okay, you know, I can't tell you, but I don't do that. And silver has kept me good, and I'm not changing that for anyone. So yeah, because really when you're getting these flu shots and stuff, you're getting what they are claiming is either dead or dormant versions of the same virus that infects you. And a lot of people end up getting sick from getting the flu shot, and that's documented as well. I would say look at, there's a website, Nature, we read from it all the time. Natural News, they have super documentation on that. And actually on the Silver Edge, they have super documentation on that as well in regards to the fact that Tamiflu and all of that stuff does not work. Matter of fact, there was an article I posted in the health section on BTR Community that discusses one of the people who helped create vaccines in this country. He actually came out and said that giving anyone vaccinations, he considers it a violent act, an act of violence towards a human organism. So this is one of the people who created this stuff. And that article in BTR Community in the health and wellness area that we have there. The next one, this is also from the Silver Edge. Silver kills lung cancer cells and slows lung cancer tumor growth. And this is from October 2nd of this year. So the blurb says, silver killed lung cancer cells and slows cancer tumor growth in the past. I've written articles about clinical studies documenting the fact that silver kills or inhibits the growth of an astounding array of cancers, including ovarian cancer, liver cancer, colon cancer, breast cancer, neuroblastoma cancer, cervical cancer, leukemia, i.e. blood cancer, and he's saying even cancers that are resistant to cancer-fighting drugs. And I put up an article a few weeks ago, if not a month or more ago, detailing the fact that they find that silver enhances the ability of cancer-fighting drugs that don't work. It enhances their ability to actually work. And when they tested silver by itself without the anti-cancer drug, it worked better at killing the cancer cells than the anti-cancer drug. And in the article, they asked, well, why do we even give people anti-cancer drugs when we can just give them colloidal silver? Ah, you can't make money off of it. That's right. So that's it. I would say read that article, especially if you know anyone that's suffering from that. because it could save their life. The next one, also from the Silver Edge, skeptical man uses colloidal silver to avoid root canal. And this is from September 24th of this year. I'm just going to read the blurb. Using colloidal silver to avoid root canal, a root canal many years ago, I wrote about my root canal experience. Here, explaining how for 12 years, I've been able to get away with avoiding a root canal procedure on a bad tooth, basically by soaking the tooth in colloidal silver several times each day and forcefully swishing the mixture in between his teeth. And I had a good friend, my Rasta brethren, who moved down to Florida this past summer. He had a horrible cavity that was giving him just horrific pain. And I actually gave him a bottle of colloidal silver as a sayonara gift as he was moving away. And he told me, he started taking it the week before he moved. And by the time he was ready to move, it was halfway done. And he said to me he's afraid to finish it because he has never experienced something that works so effectively because his tooth stopped aching almost immediately after using it. So that's personal experience, and this is also an article that dives deep into that. So the next one is from fatherly.com, and this one is men need to stop pee. Busy men might want to consider sitting down when they pee, not because it's one of the few moments of the day they can rest, but because it might be better for them. For older men, and with prostate problems in particular, sitting down to urinate could help them empty their bladders more effectively and reduce the risk of cysts and other health complications. So this is basically saying that if you know anyone that has prostate complications, that they would be it would be healthier for them to sit down on the toilet to use the bathroom in order to more effectively empty their bladder and prevent further complications. Now, I would say also I would use colloidal silver if you know someone with prostate cancer. If I knew about colloidal silver when my father-in-law was diagnosed with prostate cancer, he would have been taking it. I didn't know about it back then, but he ended up becoming a cancer survivor after going through some special kind of, I forget what they put him through, but he didn't have surgery. And he had always had complications with his bladder ever since, and he was constantly getting urinary tract infections right before he passed away until we figured out a way of stopping it using highly concentrated cranberry juice. That's how we were able to cure that issue for him. So some men might need to stop standing up when they pee. And I would say also take CBD because that kills cancer cells, including prostate cancer cells. So that's something else. If you know someone suffering from that they can try this and it might save their life. Next one is from naturalblaze.com. 7 ways to make CBD oil work faster. So basically the article gets into 7 different ways you can take it into your body that is highly effective and will give you the quickest benefit from it as quickly as possible rather than waiting for it to be absorbed into the body. I'm not going to go into that. Just read the article, but it's something that I'm telling you, it helps with so many illnesses. It's incredible. And I'm speaking from personal experience. And also it has no THC, so you don't have to worry about failing a drug test or anything of that nature. It is legal in all 50 states, and it helps with a myriad of things. You just want to make sure you're getting good quality stuff. If anyone's looking for CBD, there's a couple of companies that I actually get it from that I can recommend. Again, just hit me in my email like I provided earlier. The next one is also from Natural Blaze, CBD and gut health. What they found is that the body has a second brain, and that second brain and neural system directly connects the gut to the brain. And they found in recent years that Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, ADHD, autism, they're finding that all of them have a root in the gut and there being an imbalance in gut bacteria. CBD actually helps to facilitate healing the gut and facilitate propagation of healthy gut bacteria. And it also reduces inflammation in the gut. That's one of the major things that CBD is good for, as well as THC, is reducing inflammation. And inflammation is one of the main root causes of disease in the body. So the article goes into the connection between CBD and the health of your gut, which will facilitate brain health as well. Our next article is from Wake Up World. Eating wheat fuels pathogenic gut bacteria, study suggests. So wheat, actually, what they're saying is that you have certain bacteria that's horrific that can be fueled by eating wheat. The human body is not designed to digest wheat. Actually, hoofed animals' bodies are designed to digest wheat. And just about everybody has some form of gluten intolerance. They just might not be as acutely affected as someone who has serious gluten intolerance. But they're basically talking about a study that talks about the fact that eating wheat fuels that horrific gut bacteria that creates a myriad of spin-off issues health-wise. So check that out. It's very informative. Let me see. And I think that's it. The only one that's left is the one that you had, Jenna, about this one's from BuzzFeed. It says American mercenaries were hired to assassinate politicians in the Middle East. And exclusive American mercenaries went to Yemen to carry out targeted killings. There was a targeted assassination program in Yemen. I was running it. We did it, quote unquote. And this was posted today, October 16th. Cradling an AK-47 and sucking a lollipop, the former American Green Beret bumped along in the back of an armored SUV as it wound through the darkest streets of Aden. So basically, this is one of the people who was on these murder missions telling about the fact that they were committing targeted killings in Yemen and throughout the Middle East, which is not new. They did it all over the African continent. They've done it here with our people throughout the history of this nation. So it shouldn't be anything that's foreign, but this is basically one of them telling on all of them. So did you want to speak more about that, Jenna?
No, I was going to put that up as I was going to talk about that as part of the later part of the
let's save that then because I didn't know if you wanted to address it beforehand. So you know what, let's leave that, and whenever you wanted to bring it up, we'll bring it up then, and then that way we can go into it regarding tonight's topic. So I guess we can actually go into the first clip, and I did post it. You want to start at minute 2, and we can stop it at minute 15.
You say?
Do you see it in the chat?
Yeah, I see it. You say started at minute 2?
At minute 2, yeah, because it's kind of like 2 minutes of introduction.
Because I see one to say start at 15.
Yeah, the first one says start at 15?
Yes.
Yes, start at minute 15. No, let me double check myself. Hold on, I think that's the one you started minute 2. I think that's a typo. Give me 1 second.
Playing, so
let me just go and look.
That's not even playing, Roz.
Okay. So
the first one not playing it at all. So I'm going to go to this next one.
All right, let me see if I could try and put it in the thread and grab it. Hold on. Well, you can play the other one then, and I believe that one.
I
put that one already up.
Because it's not playing.
I'm sorry, you said you got it?
It's not playing.
So, neither of them?
No.
That's weird. Okay, let me try and see if I could go into the YouTube right now. Give me 1 second, because I don't understand that. That's really weird.
Yeah. It's all right. I got this. I wanted to play this skit from, not this skit, but it was a radio show with Louis Farrakhan, and this is what he had to say about Kanye West and Donald Trump.
But Trump is destroying every enemy that was an enemy of our rise. Who's the enemy of our rise? Is it the Department of Justice, where we get none?
You look at the corruption at the top of the FBI, it's a disgrace. And our Justice Department, which I try and stay away from, but at some point, I won't.
Is it Congress, where you make a law that favors us, and then you turn around and destroy it?
The first African-American heavyweight champion of the world, a truly great fighter, Johnson served 10 months in federal prison for what many view as a racially motivated injustice.
Is it the media that has destroyed every black leader that stood up for us?
A few days ago, I called the fake news the enemy of the people, and they are. They are the enemy of the people.
Martin Luther King suffered it, Malcolm suffered it, Du Bois suffered it, Marcus Garvey suffered it.
Because the press honestly is out of control. The level of dishonesty is out of control.
So he's attacking the media, calls it fake news.
The media is fake.
Well, I don't think everything is fake, but I know very well, right, that we have been the victims of some fake news.
Yes.
He's beating up the FBI.
You go into the FBI and take a poll of the real FBI, not the scum on top, not Comey and that group of people that are total thieves.
go at it, baby. Because they've been beating the hell out of us ever since J. Edgar Hoover and the counterintelligence program of the U.S. government. So go ahead, Mr. Trump.
If I would have had the opportunity to vote in that election for lying Hillary or crazy Trump, I probably would have voted for Trump myself. Why? Because, you see, first and foremost, Trump is not a politician. Trump is a businessman. So Trump believes in his ego that he can do a deal with anybody. We need to do a deal with an American president. We want some land. We want a state or territory that we can call our own. So Mr. Trump may be the man to do business with, first. Secondly, Mr. Trump, you know, many white people are very upset with Mr. Trump. Do you want to know why they're so upset with Mr. Trump? Because Mr. Trump is one of these Americans who shoots from the hip or shoots from the lip. In other words, whatever comes into his head, he says it. Politicians are not like that. You can sit a politician down in a studio for 3 hours and ask him 3 questions and you will never get an answer. Trump is not like that. Trump will blurt out the answer. That's why many white people, especially people in power, are very upset with Mr. Trump, because he says what they think, but they will never say it. They are all racist. Trump is no more racist than Bush. Trump is no more racist than Clinton. They're all racist, but they are good lying racist. Trump is a racist who just can't help himself. He just lets it all out. And these white people are embarrassed. Shut your mouth, they're saying. You are embarrassing us, because he reveals the true way and the true heart. See, look, ask me a question. Would I prefer an enemy smiling in my face, sidling up to me and putting his arm around my shoulder, and then surreptitiously stabbing me in my back? Or would I prefer an enemy who looks at me in my face and says, I don't like you, I'm your enemy. Give me the second enemy any day. I like to know my enemy. Trump makes it clear where he's coming from. I like that kind of white man. I would have voted for that kind of white man, because, by the way, that's the kind of white man black people need. We need a white man who's going to kick our backside and force us to do for ourselves and stop relying on white people. Let me tell you something. If lying Hillary, murdering Hillary, Hillary, who murdered Muammar Gaddafi, went on television and cackled like a witch and said, we came, we saw, and he died. Cackle, cackle, cackle. Let me tell you something. Hillary, if Hillary would have become president, black people would have went back to sleep with not just one duvet, but 2 duvets over our heads. Comfortable. Oh, we got a nice little white woman in the White House. Let me tell you something. That woman is evil personified. Evil personified. And Donald Trump, for all of his lying and his bravado and his macho, I much prefer to have somebody as transparent as that in front of me than a deceptive, crooked Hillary who will smile. She went to the Black Caucus, and she went to all these black groups in the build-up to the election. She managed to get Jay-Z and Beyoncé to perform for her and trying to win the black people. Damn hypocrite. She's the same one who referred to black youth, black young people, as super predators. Super predators. It was her husband, Hillary Clinton. It was him who created the 3 strikes and you're outlaw, which means that many black people now are in prison. having been arrested 3 times for life, and they haven't committed a capital offense. Just one of them stole a piece of bread, but it was his third offense, so he's doing life today. This is what Hillary Clinton created. And so we are not impressed, you know, like it sounds like some kind of contradiction. Black people voting for Mr. Trump. But believe me, Trump is what we need today. We need a Trump in the White House. Yes, sir.
Well, if Goldwater ever becomes president, one thing his presence in the White House will do, it will make black people in America have to face up to facts, probably for the first time in many, many years. And this in itself is good, in that Goldwater is a man who's not capable of hiding his racist tendencies, and at the same time, he's not capable of even pretending to Negroes that he's their friend. So this will have a tendency to make the Negro, probably for the first time, do something to stand on his own feet and solve his own problem instead of putting himself in a position to be misled, misused, exploited by the whites who pose as liberals only for the purpose of getting the support of the Negro. So in one sense, Goldwater's coming in will awaken the Negro, and it will probably awaken the entire world, more so than the world has been awakened since Hitler.
I love this guy right here. Let me give this guy a hug right here. I love this guy right here.
That's really nice. And that's from the heart. I didn't want to put you in that position, you know, but that's from the heart. Special guy.
Kanye West, don't bow to the pressure to apologize to anybody. You said nothing wrong. Who are you, Farrakhan, to tell him that he said nothing wrong? I am directly from the Christ and the Messiah. So what I tell you has more weight than anything that these enemies might want to say. You have nothing to apologize for. It is their fear of the truth. And that's why it gives me pleasure to defend my brother.
Now, it's a lot to unpack in that. So, I want to get right to what I was talking about. A few years back on Tando Radio, I was saying, man, this dude finna get in there, and we just need to come up with a code. And for the last couple of years, I've been throwing that out, asking what should be the universal black code that all of us could semi-agree to. Like if you ask your partner or your family, we just do these things when we out in public. Talking about getting a code. But back then on Tando, I stated that these suspects are going to be fighting each other. This will give us some time to make some plans and do some type of headway. This was about 2 years ago. And here we are right now saying the same exact thing. And truth be told, a lot of us are not playing and we are getting prepared. But then there's another section of us that are not prepared whatsoever. Don't even realize what's getting ready to come. So if it's something particular you wanted to say to that video, Roz, before I continue on, you go ahead.
Yeah, I think he, Minister Farrakhan, had a good code. I mean, Millie Fuller says it too. VGQ, he said what he said. You know what I mean? I don't have no argument. He's a victim of white supremacy. He said what he said. I think, you know, the best thing is what Otis and Scotty and many others ourselves have talked about. We just needed to correct what he was saying, but he wasn't incorrect about what he was talking about. And the issue he was addressing is one that was heavily needed to be addressed and needs to be addressed. So yeah, you know, just as another victim of white supremacy who took his platform, his ability to reach many millions of people and decided to speak about something that needs to be discussed, you know, I think a lot of major societal issues will be dealt with dealing with prison. Just just the entire concept of this new form of slavery, I think there's a lot of things that we would see. I think a lot of corporations will have a lot of major problems because either they're going to have to start paying them a real wage, hiring real, you know, people that they're going to pay a real wage, or just collapse their companies or certain departments where they were using prison labor. So I think it would be, it's awesome that he did it. And I, like I say, he's a victim of white supremacy, DGQ. He said what he said. You know, I don't like everything that he says, but it's, you know, I think he, like I said, we all got a touch of crazy. And this is the way his expresses itself. Sometimes it's the sunken place he goes to, quote unquote. And then other times he just does what he did. He brings out things that need to be said. And that's pretty much how I feel about it. I think Farrakhan was quite accurate in his assessment. He has gone against a lot of these institutions that have plagued black people. Not that he actually stood up for us per se, but him attacking these different mediums is attacking basically the enemy of non-white people in regards to the way that society structured against us. And that, I think, is helpful in any way. Anytime you have two colonizers or more fighting amongst themselves, that's great.
It should be built in time.
What we need to do is use the opportunities for us to get our stuff together and start making moves, different moves in the game of life that we're trying to succeed at dealing with this system. So, yeah, I think every time you get two of them or more fighting amongst themselves, fan them flames all day. Black people, do not get involved. Mind your business. Stay as far out of that as possible and see if there's any way that you can facilitate them arguing with each other in a clandestine manner. And if not, just stay the heck out of it and let it do what it does. I tell people all the time, white people hate themselves way more sometimes than they even hate us sometimes. It's just that they have a code, and that code is, when non-white people are around, we put aside our beef and we deal with them because we're dealing with genetic annihilation. Even though I hate your gut, I'm willing to work with you to get rid of them. Once we get rid of them, we can go back to killing each other all day. I've been telling people, study white people's history. Dr. John Henry Clark used to beat us in the head from when I was quite little about that. Study their history. And what you'll find is a lot of, if not everything they've done to us, they perfected on their own people first. Just study the history of Europe. Study how horrific.
Yeah,
I mean, think about this.
I
wonder if anyone's ever
thought
about this.
We
the
done
whole
done shows
concept
about
of
that,
slavery,
Ralph.
The word. Was, I'm sorry, say it again?
I say we done shows on that. We got a caller. We got a caller coming in.
Oh, we do?
Brother,
good. I'm not
brother
looking
Scotty.
At the board. My bad.
Nah, you good, brother. Brother Scotty, what's going on tonight?
Hey, Brother Jenna and Brother Ross, greetings
peace
to you.
And love. Great greetings. To hear you today, Scotty.
Hey, I just want to offer another point of view when white people fight each other or different colonizers are having disputes. And this isn't the dispute what you were saying, Ross. Just want to offer another point of view.
Absolutely.
I think that people have to learn how to exploit. Let me just put it in these terms. I think that black people as a group here in the United States have to learn how to exploit those divisions and be ready to take advantage when these divisions come up.
Right.
Playing one against the other. But we haven't been playing them. Our political leadership class doesn't have real leaders. It has people who have been bought and paid for a very long time. You know, we haven't really had any leaders since Dr. King and Malcolm and you know, a few representatives out of New York and what have you. But ever since then, you know, people just sold out, man, to one political plantation or one gang or another. And they're not really looking out, you know, for the interest groups or the groups they're supposed to be representing. But anyway, like, take for example, black people exploited the division between white people on the issue of slavery since it was mentioned and it led to the Civil War. I would say that black people came out in a better position after the Civil War than they did before the Civil War. It was still horrific. It was still an unjust environment, but at least no longer was your babies being born on massive plantation and that was immediately his property. Now, at least, now, to enslave you. You know, they got to first, you know, invent some crime and then arrest you for it. But I'm just saying that, you know, we took advantage of that and came out on top of that. Even the Haitians took advantage of the dispute between that France was having with the other colonizers and was able to take advantage at the right time. And, you know, win their sovereignty as a nation. So what I'm saying is that we have to be skilled when we do it. Not just anybody can do this or has this skill. But I think that, you know, because they do it to other groups all day long. So that's all
I'll say to Chinese. Look at what the Chinese are doing with the BRICS. Russia's in there. The R in BRICS is for Russia. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, they're doing it. And I agree. I actually kind of said something. I didn't go into it as deep as you. But, yeah, you're right. I say that all day. Yes, exploit any differences they have. You can facilitate exploiting them. Absolutely do so. If you cannot find the means to exploit it for any reason, that's when I say step back and just let them do what they do. But absolutely. Anytime you can do that, then you have an upper hand because you're going to end up getting inside information on how not just the other white folks that they're fighting against function, but how white people function in general. It's going to be a learning experience all the way around. So, yes, I do not disagree with you one bit. That's Ottawa Tactics 101 right there.
Well, yeah.
You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. They say it all in the Predator series. You know what I mean? So I agree emphatically. Go ahead, Jenna. I'm sorry about that.
Hey, thank you, Brother Scatter.
Yes, thank you for that. Quite yes, insightful and true.
That kind of shoots towards what I was. That kind of shoots towards what I had used that video for. Exactly what you said. With both of you, we have to exploit those weaknesses because the attention is not on us. And that's why, continuously, once again, I'm gonna say it again. Why isn't there a code that we have as a people? We're not gonna fight in front of them, argue. I think, like they do, when we see them, we put our stuff to the side. We don't do that. I think that's part of that retardation that could have happened because we just don't like being around each other for whatever odd reason. I mean, we all know it's a history. We done talked about that many of times. At some point, you would think that you get old enough that you could understand. But it's not too late. We all still living. That code can be established. And I hope a lot of you that's listening has already implemented that code. Brother Scotty?
Yeah, let me add this. And this kind of speaks to a code. Now, when Kanye said what he said, and like Rod said, you ain't have to agree with all of it. Mm-mm. But like Mr. Farrakhan said, there were some things that were very legitimate, you know, that he was correct on it. It's just he didn't word it correctly. He wasn't coherent. He was kind of manic. It was like somebody excited who called into a radio station for the first time, and they were just trying to make all their points real quickly. That's how Kanye sounded in that little press conference. Now, you got to understand, there's other conversations going on behind the scenes. So I think people put too much into that press conference. You know what I'm saying? So he was just trying to cut. You know, that was like accepting an award or something at the end, and you give a shout out to everybody. So he wanted to touch upon all these different issues.
Hey,
you know,
is.
Economy, jobs, education, slavery. Now, here's the point. Now, what if instead of Don Lemon and Roland Martin and Snoop Dogg and other black celebrities, instead of them, you know, calling Kanye an idiot and talking about his incorrect behavior, what they, you know, felt like, you know, wearing the MAGA hat, trivial type stuff. What if they all said, you know, I can't really get like T.I. said. Because I included what he said in a video promo I put out. T.I. said, you know, bump all that other stuff Kanye was talking about. But on that 13th Amendment, I absolutely agree with him. Prison slavery is legal. That 13th Amendment incentivizes for them to do what called mass incarceration. And what did all the black people on TV was like, you know, that other stuff, I may not agree with Kanye on, but, you know, we have to really discuss this 13th Amendment and the fact that slavery was not. Now, what did that have been black people in the media's code? Anybody that they going to stick a microphone in front of to see what they think, you know? What if that was our code? Where would we be at then? Would the Republicans and Democrats be scrambling to, oh, man, this is an issue that we might could run on. We might could win some votes on. Black people said they want slavery to end. So what if we had, what if everybody had been codified and not criticized Kanye? Hey, bump that other stuff. But that 13th Amendment stuff he was bringing up, pretty interesting. Didn't we just see a documentary, 13th? Didn't CNN just put on documentary talking about that same thing, American Jail? Y'all get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Hey, area code 646, I'm going to be right with you with that. You're exactly right. You're coming up next, excuse me. You're absolutely right about that, Scotty. And it's not just the entertainers. It's just everyday people. All of them fall in the same crowd. He's stupid. He don't know what he's talking about. But what about the things that he did, that he said correctly? Well, he said it wrong. It was like, well, if you know somebody smarter, or you think that somebody else should have been the one to say it and they ain't said it, how about you get them and some of their people who are all of a sudden, they would have said it like this. And since Kanye can talk to the president, why aren't y'all facilitating that? None of these type of questions ever get answered. It's just the anger. It's like a mob rule. No pun intended. It's been used quite often here lately. But that's kind of what we got going on over in the black community. Just can't wait to tell another black man or black woman the shreds. But Roz, we got a caller.
Yeah, I just want to say something real quick before we pull the caller in on the line. I just wanted to say, because we had talked about this earlier today, the way the system has cultivated what I call the cult personality. So now we have been forced to pay attention to the larger-than-life persona of the person, whether they're an online personality, TV, entertainment, whatever it is, instead of listening to the message. And that's been the power of images. The human mind is trapped by images. And that's why they talk about the holographic mind, because our brains think in pictures. And the weirdest thing about it is that they got us trained to the point through all the social media, the different devices, to really get involved in the cult of the person's personality, rather than looking at the message that they're trying to convey, like Adrian, you were just saying so eloquently. And that's where the issue is. We have to start shifting our attention economics towards the message and not towards personality or the person of the messenger.
Correct.
And with that, we can definitely pull in the call. I just wanted to say that, but I just think that that's like the most prolific and acute disease that our society has in modern times, is the cult of personality disease. And with that, I'll shut up now so we can bring in the caller. Thanks for your patience too, caller.
Greetings, caller out of 646. What's your name? Where you calling from? What is your question or comment?
Greetings. This is Tag, and it's great to hear the broadcast. I don't always get a chance to hear y'all, but greetings, Brother Roz and Brother Jenna, and I heard Brother Scotty just now.
Yes, greetings.
Really appreciate the discussion and the clips that I heard, and find myself, as seems to be the case, in spite of perhaps my better judgment, multitasking a little bit out here. So I'm gonna have to, try and be as brief as I can, and ideally I can, stay on the line for a bit longer. But a lot was said that, I was really, connecting with. And I also had like a question or two. Ideally, I can get to those quickly. But one of the things that really struck me, I was reminded of a track. And this is from an artist who goes by Skip Coon. I don't know if y'all heard Skip Coon's most recent album, or to my knowledge, it's his most recent effort. But there's a track on his album, very, very strong lyricism and instrumentation just overall, and some spoken word looks worked into there. But he has, at one point in one of the tracks, he repeats, the weak go along and the strong go crazy. And I was just, I was reminded of that line in wow. what you were discussing, you know, as far as having that, that touch of insanity, you know, it seems very relevant to the condition we're in presently and have found ourselves in for, frankly, far too long, far longer than makes a lot of sense, you know. But that's a very strong album, dropped, I want to say, 2014.
Yeah, I just
and you posted that in the hip hop thread that I created on BTR Community, because I would love to like check out their work and everything. Because this is the first time I've heard of this artist, so I definitely want to check them out. Sounds dope. So for sure.
Yeah.
And if you got any positive hip hop, just toss it up in there. That thread is dedicated to nothing but pretty much positive, you know, hip hop and just classic the good stuff, not the trash stuff. So yeah, anything along them lines is all welcome. For sure. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I'll make a point of it, and
you know,
I've been meaning to do likewise, to play some titles in the film club, you know, and it's just a question of just trying to make sure to, you know, be purposeful with that. There's so much material that goes into that space, and you know, so just quick, just general shout out to whoever might be listening or listen later, you know, to BTR Community. It's just, you know, such a wealth of these cultural products, the information, you know, potential just contacts and social connections, you know, just a truly genuinely thorough space, you know. So we'll do on that and others, and, which reminds me, that was one of the other discussions or threads in the discussion that I wanted to speak to just briefly.
Sure.
This question, you know, of you were speaking of health and you know, you have dropped so many different links into the health maintenance section, which, you know, far be it for me to be able to kind of keep up with that, but I try and check in to just, you know, because it's so much going on there, but all of it is so vital to us, obviously, our health, you know. They say health is wealth, and so there's a film called Ayurveda that speaks to the Ayurveda, you know, health system, spiritual system, what have you. And, you know, there was a moment within that particular documentary, it's called Ayurveda. I forget, you know, like the subtitle, but it dropped in 2000 and either 2000 or 2001, if I'm not mistaken. But at any rate, you know, it's just about kind of the principles of that particular medical system. And, you know, some of the brothers in here, you know, were just, you know, curing heads of cancer, you know, like it was light, talking about all of the crucial properties of minerals and barks and, you know, just the ecology that exists around us. And something that I found extremely relevant in that film, which is worthwhile for a number of reasons, was the fact that some of these healers, probably at least half of them that are highlighted in this work, they come from generations of healers, you know, from more or less that same, you know, that same
lineage.
Fundamental groundwork, you know, they're working through the same work that their folks did, and their folks down, some of them were citing, you know, 14th or 16th generation, you know, healers, and we're able to point toward the specific documents, you know, looking at texts that they had in their shelves that went back centuries, you know, 5 and 6 centuries. And that's something that those that these slavers and their ilk, those that, you know, traffic in disruption and confusion, have really made a concerted effort to make sure that we don't have, you know, those kinds of longstanding vital connections to ancestral past and to, you know, the lineage of these systems of knowledge, you know, not to say that they don't exist at all, and shouts to those who make sure to, you know, facilitate those. You have your Arturo Schombergs and so many others, but, you know, that was a very, that was one of the main themes to me, at least from observation and study, that was one of the main facets of the strategic decimation, you know, of so many sites of ancestral knowledge. You know, appreciated the references to kind of these means that we have of combating some of the made up ailments that we find ourselves faced with all the time. And just, you know, also wanted to just more or less agree, not necessarily on every point, as I heard from y'all, but more or less agree with the overall message behind what y'all played. And I thought that it was quite telling and in some ways fascinating that Barry Goldwater was referenced specifically, given what we know about one, some call her Sister Hillary, and her participation as a Goldwater girl in her notorious past. I thought that was quite, I thought that was just quite a connection, you know, comparing, you know, bringing the El Hajj clip, talking about the openness of a Barry Goldwater and seemingly in comparison with like a Donald Trump and whatnot, and how, you know, all of it kind of comes full circle. It's not as though the Trumps and the Clintons, you know, are mortal enemies or anything of the like. You know, they have a lot of similarities and similar aims, but approach things very differently. And I thought it was important that was highlighted. But I don't, you know, there were some other points. I don't want to, you know, prolong anything. And
well, I know you said you had a couple of questions, didn't you? Excuse me for interjecting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. What were your questions for sure?
Hold on,
so
Tag. Hold on just a second, Tag, because we're right here at our first break. And we're just going to run you over into this, to the top of this break. You are listening to Real Life Radio Show. Today is October 16th, 2018. If you have a question or comment, please give us a call. The number is 704-802-5056. Press ** to put yourself in the queue, and we'll be with you as soon as possible. Go ahead, Tag.
Appreciate that, bro. And I was just reminded real quick, there's a title, Safia Bukhari wrote a work, it's essentially an autobiography, fallen revolutionary sister from out of the Panther Party, called The War Before. You know, has probably heard of it, but I was reminded of that text and her when this question of the cult of personality was brought up. You know, one of the quotes that's very integral to that text, you know, she talks about how within the party they would always say that, you know, you have to look at the politics, that it's the politics first and not the person, you know, and she stood on that at important moments within her autobiography. So I just wanted to add that real quick. But my two questions were, One, and this is just a kind of point of information and obviously nothing that you wouldn't want to divulge, you know, on air, but I wanted to just check in with you, Brother Jenna, on how things are going with your case. I don't know if you've spoken to it and I missed it, but I recall you had a run-in with one of these patrollers and just wanted to you know, get a sense of any updates or how, you know, heads might could support with what's going on with that, if that's still ongoing. And then the other question just relates to the issue of leadership, you know, and how, and again, the cult of personality and the like, and, you know, just kind of a general question that, I've been thinking about in this conversation and others, and it relates exactly, Brother Jenna, to what you were saying about attention. I thought that that was a very key term to use as regards our condition here and what we're faced with, you know, questions of attention. How do we navigate different levels of attention, and when is it useful to kind of wield that attention and the like? You know, I thought that that was a really important term to bring into it. But the question being like, well, a lot of people talk about Black leaders all the time, you know, so-called Black leaders, dark leaders, however we want to put it. But and then, you know, the list kind of starts to generate. But, you know, who would we point toward as the so-called white leaders? You know, it seems to me that in the case of those who identify as or are identified as white, those kinds of color-coded appellations are a lot less readily placed upon questions of leadership. It almost seems as though it's being presented as if it transcends, you know, coloration. Whereas from out of where we're coming from, it's always, you know, if not all, but always, you know, given that kind of colored, or it, you know, coloration is applied to it. So those be my two questions.
If I, on this last question, if I understand you correct, you're saying coming out of our, coming from us as Black people is coloration, as far as you won't follow them, or I'm not sure. Can you clarify that, please?
Definitely. Just, you know, who would we identify as the, so to speak, white leaders? Or is that even a concept that is readily available to us, you know, white leaders?
Okay.
Whereas, you know, yep.
I would love to speak to that.
All right. I was just going to answer his question real quick.
Go ahead.
I'm still going through these issues. This is, I don't know, some people would can say that this was my one of my retarded episodes. You know, it's a lot of people that say, well, you should have just took it. I mean, you hear a lot of things when people are not having to go through them themselves. So I still have a court date coming up for that. But to speak on your point about the white leaders, I don't think they are known to us. I think whoever the white leaders are those not the 1% we hear about, but the people that tell them what to do. So I don't think we are, like you said, readily available to know who they are. They have a bunch of people who do a bunch of strange stuff to us all the time. And it comes from each and every direction. When I was in school playing football, it would be the equivalent of a bull ring. You just get in the middle and wait for your punches. In our case, could be cases. Because we know you don't have to do nothing wrong to be assaulted. And that's whether it's happened to you before, or you have seen the countless amount of videos on social media and on the news where it happens to them. So we know it happens. I think our leaders, like Scotty said earlier, a lot of them are already paid for, you know, and every now and again, they something happens to them to remind them to be in check. I think another part of that, of us just kind of thinking slowly sometimes, a lot of us really believe that we live in a democracy. And it's a lot of us that don't even know the difference between democracy and republic. So it's a lot of, we pick these people to represent us. And then we holler, it's a democracy. The system ain't working right. The system is working exactly the way it was designed. And once again, we have to admit, we have to realize that it's working perfectly. Then we can start doing something different. But until we figure that out as a whole, it's something that I say all the time. I'm crazy until I'm not crazy. And by the time you figure out that I'm not crazy, it may have been too late for you. We got a caller. We see your area code 662. We'll be with you right in a second. Roz, well, before you get in there, Roz, did that answer your question, Tag?
It did. I appreciate that. And I won't, press the issue about how we might could support or anything that might be overly specific. I'm not sure how you're going about approaching, legality and whatnot.
I get with you on BTR community because I'm there too. So I get with you at a later date about that, and we could discuss some things. But Roz, go ahead. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tag. Greatly appreciate it, and it's an honor having you on the program this evening as well. This is an interesting thing because when you talk about, I agree with Jenna when he said that we don't see those white leaders. And what I've come to understand, and actually, I posted like two out of a 3-part series of videos by a man named Lindsay Williams. And he actually did like this series a few years ago, I think around 2012 or something. And it was basically dealing with what he calls, it was called The Secrets of the Elite. Now, he is actually a preacher from Alaska. He used to do fly like bush planes and stuff, and he was a chaplain for people. So if you were dying, had a bad accident, he would read you your last rites. Now, what happened was eventually he ended up somehow getting hooked up with these people that turned out to be the people that you're talking about. And he starts off the first video by saying this: I'm going to start off by telling you there is a small group of people that control the world. How do I know this? Because I worked with them directly. I spoke with them on a daily basis. And actually, I lived with them for 3 years. And he basically breaks down all of what, as much as he could, about what he experienced with them. And he actually said that because of those men were at the age where they were starting to die off, they no longer cared about keeping the secrets anymore. And they told them, look, tell the world what you need to tell them. I'm dying anyway. I don't care anymore. And that's what prompted him to do the video. Now, what there is white people as a collective, and this is specifically due to epigenetics and the epigenetic science of genetic annihilation and that innate DNA-based fear. Non-white people don't have that fear because we are the norm. Melanated beings are the norm. White people do, and it's embedded in their DNA. So as a result, white people function with a hive mind, and the hive mind surrounds genetic annihilation and the concept of racism, white supremacy. So when you're looking at the average white person that you come across, they are no leaders, unless you're talking about leaders of specific groups, which we all know them, you can find them online or whatever, but there really are no leaders. They function with the hive mind surrounding the concept of genetic annihilation. So they don't need to have conversations about how they're going to terrorize everybody. It is on autopilot now and has been for at least the last, 1,000, 1,500 to 2,000 years? Like, that's pretty much the way it's been. And then you have the people that Lindsay Williams was talking about, the people who really run stuff. And those people are people you will never see. You'll hear their names. You'll hear Rockefellers. You'll hear the Rothschilds. You'll hear all of them. And they are directly involved. Those are some of the families or the people that are involved, and their families have been entrenched and involved for probably well over 1,000 years now. And those people are people you'll never see. Those are the people that do iniquity in secret, like Bob Marley used to sing in his song. Now, the reason why white people put the concept of a black leader and they put it out to us all the time in the news and in social media is basically to focus our mind in a bottleneck as to where they want the masses to go. They know that the average black person, like you said, Jenna, believes that we live in a democracy. I call it a demonocracy because it's literally iniquity in secret that ends up on public display because it's all written into the law. Mm-hmm. And in order to keep us going in the direction they want us to go, they propagate the concept of a leader, 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 follow, 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 black caucus, black congressional caucus, follow them. And, you know, this one, follow this one. So for us, we've been trained that way because we've been groomed to be emotional. We've been groomed to look for a savior. We've been groomed, and it's not anyone's purposeful doing. The people who did the leading in the 60s were people of integrity. They weren't perfect men, but they were people of integrity. They really had the best interest of our people at heart. And that is why the system sought to destroy them and did destroy some of them so viciously, was because their character was not assailable to the point where the message was being lost. Hey. We're in a culture where people want to do the most deviant, wild stuff and still be a leader. And then because we have the cult of personality, once the system demonizes you, Scotty says it all the time, media controls the minds of the masses. They can make someone who is innocent look guilty and the guilty look innocent. So once you go through that wash and dry cycle on the social media, all over the television and whatnot, you're washed up. Nobody wants to hear anything you say, whether you're right or wrong. And they say even a broken clock strikes correct at least twice a day. But nobody wants to listen to you at the two times a day that you might strike correct. And that's the cult of personality. That's not by accident. That's why I think Neely Fuller's concept of us leading ourselves and coming to a cohesive, holistic code, uh-oh, like Jenna's been talking about tonight and we've been talking about, is so important, because that way we have the guidelines. And I always use the Jews because I've worked with them. My wife has worked intimately with them, and they have a code that they do not deviate from, period, which is at least, and this is from personal experience, when it comes to violating other Jews on a business level, stealing from them, stealing workers from them, they don't do it. They cease and desist immediately once they find out the owner of the company is another Jew. And Sephardic Jews and Ashkenazi Jews hate each other. But we've even seen amongst them where they don't violate that code. And that's what I mean when I say they don't like each other either, but they got a darn code. We don't have a code. Our code is if a white man's around, one of us black folks is going to try to get that person on our side so that the system of white supremacy can assist us in oppressing another victim. That's the way we've been groomed to think. We've been groomed to go to our colonizer to adjudicate problems amongst ourselves. When we had the Black Panther Party, they had such trust and integrity in the community, we used to go to them. And these are the things we need to get back to. We've abandoned the good things that we've developed and discarded them to follow the system of white supremacy and the cult of personality. And until we discard that, it's going to be a major hurdle for us to do anything cohesively. And that's why I like what you played in the clip, Jenna, before we get the other caller in, is when he said, I love Donald Trump, because he makes it plain. Like Malcolm said in the beginning of the show, he makes it plain. He speaks in a language where all white people can easily understand. That's how he does. And I prefer that too. I'd rather know what the deal is. Because Hillary Clinton would have had us in World War III like 3 months after she was inaugurated, I believe, if she won. So with that, I'll shut my mouth and we can bring in the other callers so they can say their piece. But I hope I answered your question. But I think, like I said, the ones who really pull the string, you're not going to see them on Front Street. And then for the major collective, they have a hive mind. Black people don't have a hive mind because we are the original people. We are the original people everywhere. So we don't have a concept of genetic annihilation in our minds, even though we should, because we're dealing with people who have literally killed off entire people. I tell people, study Tasmania. There's not a living Tasmanian today because they killed every last one of them. And they were black. I'll leave it there.
As always, Area code 622, your mic is open. Welcome to Real Life, the radio show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment? Okay, I don't think they had.
I wonder if they have themselves muted.
662, did you mute yourself? Okay. Man.
Maybe it's an accident.
Yeah.
I think YouTube is down because no YouTube videos are working. I think something's going on with YouTube. We might wake up in the morning and hear that somebody hacked it or something, because literally I've been trying to just play any video and they're all giving me error messages, whether I do it on my cell phone or I do it on the laptop. So I think there's something wrong with actually with YouTube's site right now, because every video I click on, nothing is playing. It all says error message for everything. Well, so that's why we can't play the other clips. Yeah, literally, no matter who I try to you know, play.
I was having those same issues. So, you know, they told us not too long ago I can't remember right off the top of my head, but somebody was going to be hacking us, and they're just getting us prepared for it.
I agree. I completely agree, because like I said, we've been conditioned. We've been psychosocially conditioned towards our own destruction in ways that we cannot fathom. And that's why I'm constantly on a train of mindfulness and self-reflection before I speak, as I deal with people, especially other Black people. That's why I've co-opted that prayer from Gus. Big up to you, Gus T. Renegade. I know he's doing the book study club tonight. Big up to you. You know, because we have to be patient with each other. We have to be understanding, and we have to look at the message, not the messenger. The messenger is flawed. They're human. I'm flawed. I'm human. You know, that's one of the things I love about doing radio, because I think it eliminates the visuals, eliminate a big part of the cult of personality, is having that image somewhere or being on a YouTube video constantly saying something. That's something, that's actually a part of my code, just because I know how that can be. And it's just so many different dynamics that go into being out there like that, and you really don't have control over it. Once you're out there, you don't have control. Your image can be stolen. They can do all kinds of things with those images. I mean, Shucks, just earlier this summer, we were talking about them taking real actors' faces and putting them in porn movies that are made up.
Yeah.
But the technology is so incredible that you would think it's the real, you know, actor or actress in there doing all kinds of deviance. So, I mean, these are the types of things. It's going to get worse. Don't get it messed up. It's going to get worse. That's just the beginning. And as the technology gets better, you're going to find that even videos that you, like security video, you're going to have people's faces placed at crimes where they never were. You're going to have all of that stuff happening. Plus, you got the Minority Report predictive, you know, criminology thing that they're doing. And we just talked about that, I think, last week on Tando. I discussed that or something. But we were talking about that, too, that they're implementing these things. So you're going to have people getting arrested because they're going to predict that you're going to do something based on your family history, as far as their criminal history, based on your DNA, because they're co-opting DNA. I just talked about this or posted on this. Dave talked about it, too. I posted it in a thread, I think it was early this week or late last week, about the fact that when it comes to taking DNA from these ancestry sites, that over 60% of white Americans, our DNA has already been exposed. So the way that they caught the Golden State Killer, they can arrest up to 60% of white America because their DNA is all up in there, and those companies sell the DNA. The only company I know of that does not sell anything and does not deal with the government is African Ancestry. All the other ones that I know of, they sell your stuff. And they basically said that over half of the white population their stuff is exposed. So if you have a criminal relative, they're going to dig up in your stuff, and they're going to be knocking on their door based on DNA. So don't get it messed up. And remember the brother Rob from Wisconsin, when he had his time in the prison plantation, he made it emphatically clear that when he finished his time, his debt to society, that they would not let him out of prison until he gave up his DNA. And he said he didn't want, he told them no. And they said, well, you're going to sit in your cell. Until we get your DNA, you are not leaving. We don't care if you finished your, you know, your debt to society or not. Until we get your DNA, you're going to sit in that cell. And of course, he gave up his DNA to get up out of there. So they're creating this database. And I said this years ago. I believe that they have a database with the DNA of Minister Malcolm. Matter of fact, when he passed away, they said that his organs were pristine. They said he had the organs of a 20-year-old. So how do they know that, unless they were tampering with his cells? He was a living testament to Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's Eat to Live philosophy, because his organs were pristine, is how they were described. So they have a database with Marcus Garvey's DNA, in my opinion, Malcolm, Martin Luther King, even the African leaders, Patrice Lumumba, Thomas Sankara, all the people who raised hell. And what they do is, when you get caught up, they take your DNA, and I believe they match markers with the markers of revolutionaries. And if you have that, they're going to make sure that your life is trapped up. You locked up, and you're locked up during your reproductive years so that you're not able to procreate and make another revolutionary pain in the backside for them. That's why they lock them Panthers up with basketball numbers, because they're getting out of prison in their 70s, 80s, and who's procreating at that age? That's the whole purpose of that. So in my opinion, as every year passes, my foresight on this issue becomes more and more apparent. And it's not to big myself up. It's something that Dr. Welsner said and made emphatically clear before she passed away. When you start to get a real understanding of how the system of white supremacy works, you are able to make accurate predictions on the direction in which it's heading. And nobody made more accurate predictions on the direction of the system of white supremacy than the goddess of black self-respect. Big up to you, Queen. I pray that you are resting well with all the grandcestors and the ancestors in a mentor. So yeah, it gets really deep. But we have a lot of work to do, because we've been groomed towards really making a religion out of our suffering, stating a system of diabolical, either psychological or actual abuse on other black people who don't think like you, or like Scotty says, who may not think as fast as you, or who may not understand the concepts you understand. We're impatient with each other. We're highly abusive with each other. And these are all things we do not do to the colonizer. We get real nice and real courteous, and real friendly, and we'll accept all kinds of abuse from them. I've seen black people do that. And all you got to do as another black person is glance at them, and they think you looked at them the wrong way, and they either go ham on you. But when a white person come around and does something to them, they don't even say nothing. It's like nobody ever did anything to them. That's conditioning. That is straight conditioning towards hating yourself. Something I've exhibited too when I was younger and much more confused and much more prone to violent activity. I was the same way. I was a pariah, but I gave white people just as much hell, if not more, than black folks, though. But I was a pariah to my community. I was psychologically real talk. And you know, I'm just glad that I've lived long enough to know better. Like you said, Jenna, so I can do better. And, you know, that's pretty much what it is for me. You wanted to speak on that as well?
Man, it's... You took care of all of that.
Okay. But my bad.
I did want to. It's just interesting, because you're right. Another one of those aspects that make us a little bit crazy is when you start to see these things happening at such a rapid pace and nobody else sees them. And you're constantly trying to explain why certain things are happening to them, but they just refuse to listen to you. And it that weighs on you. I mean, it's so many different, like I said, the bull ring, and I know we shouldn't use analogies, but that's the most physical way I can describe it. How this system just batters us. From all angles.
I think two of the most, I'm sorry, I just wanted to add this, because this is something that has started to stand out to me as far as a pattern in our behavior collectively, some of us. I've seen now that there's two major groups, psychological groups of black folks that really are so on their own trajectory that they really have no, like, to me, this is how we would say it as far as the African proverb goes. You can never add more to a cup that's full. So in other words, if you're already full of all that you need to know, you're so convinced that everything that you know is what you need to know, is correct, is all accurate, and screw everybody else and what they think. There's no room for new knowledge. There's no room for research. There's no room for accuracy. It's all about my cup being full of whatever I'm full of. And the two groups of our people that exhibit some of the most acute forms of mental illness, in my opinion, are the black folks who don't believe they're victims of white supremacy, because stuff is, when you get to talk to them and they just tell you about their life, you'll realize, like, you're getting your behind beat every day. But you're just conditioned to think we're in a democracy and this is American. I'm an American. So you're not even able to see it. So to talk to them, they're already full. So anything you say, you look crazy to them and they don't want to hear you. And then the other group are the group of black people that are so traumatized by the idea of our collective Maangamizi experience in the Western Hemisphere, which is another term for the transatlantic slave trade, that they don't want to be African at all. Those are the two major groups to me that are so full, you can't pour anything in them. And there's no room, they're not open to any other ideas or concepts that might even a little bit contradict what they think. And they tend to, from what I've seen in personal experience with both the types of folk, they tend to experience and do the same things over and over and over and expect a different result, which is the definition of insanity. So again, it ties right back into that insanity that we talk about. And again, it's not to separate myself. I got a touch of crazy too. I just don't have that brand of crazy. And to me, that particular brand of crazy is a brand of crazy where it's very hard to divest from once you're wrapped up in it. To me, it's like a rabbit hole. You just go down and there's so many layers. After a while, there's no way for you to figure your way out of it. So you just say, screw it. I'm here now. This is what it is. I'm going to run with this until I'm up out of here. To me, that's what I see with that. And that is a dangerous thing. The inability to digest new information and properly process it and actually do some research. I said this in the hip hop set today. I posted a song called Manila by Lupe Fiasco. He has his new album basically almost in its entirety is discussing slavery.
Yeah, shout out to Max.
Forms of psychological damage that have been done to our people. And I said, if an MC can do the proper research to create an incredible album, entire album dedicated to our ancestors, and we have black people who are in denial about our experience. And I said he was affected by his research so much, because he was, that he started collecting manilas, which are actual slavery artifacts. For those who don't know what a manila is a copper or brass bracelet that they would put on the slaves that identified them as property. So you had the branding process, and then you had what was known as providing these manilas. And I believe they were created in Berlin, and he collects them. He said those are his most prized possessions, are these manilas that he collected, which are bracelets worn by the slaves, letting everyone know that they belong to someone. And I said, if he could do that kind of research to create that album, but we have people who call themselves counter racists, they call themselves aboriginals, they call themselves I ain't African and everything else, but they want to see a slave ship. They just have the most outlandish concepts about the fact of what we've been through. They're willing to literally take a urination on our ancestors' graves and proudly do so. They're willing to crap all over our grandcestors and say that all the work that they did, putting their lives on the line for our people, doesn't matter because the slave trade didn't happen.
Well,
that's
here,
real
look.
Sickness right there.
Yeah, that was... With that, we'll go on into this break. You are listening to Real Life, the radio show. If you have a question or comment, by all means, give us a call. That number is 704-802-5056. press star to put yourself in the queue, and we'll be with you as soon as possible. This, we here at the bottom of the hour, and we done discussed a lot of the crazy that the retardation that we display sometimes, and it's not nobody that we're picking on. It's just that it's something that all of us have to deal with. And whatever manner you choose to express yourself, if it's not hurting somebody, we shouldn't be so quick to attack our people, because that's what we do. And I think it goes back to what you were saying. A lot of us won't do it to those suspects, so we do it to the next vulnerable person, which end up being somebody that look like us. But to go all the way back to the Farrakhan, I started out the show stating that I have been saying this. I continue to say this, and I've said it quite a few times tonight. We have to find a code. We should have been building, doing something, because these two, in my view, whoever he fighting with, Donald Trump, because like we was talking about, they have bosses. So whatever two factions are fighting, and it's not like they were slowing up on murdering us or nothing. Right. But we did have we had foresight for this already. We could have been doing a lot of things. So if any of you who are out there listening tonight, you have ideas, maybe share some of the things that you're doing.
Please do. Answers. Information as possible can help everybody. Go ahead. I'm sorry, brother.
I was saying I was just wanting to introduce a few of the things that I do. I've said many a times that we have no culture. I mean, as a group, we have things, traditions that our family does, but culture has been stricken from us. One of the things that I said, I asked this question, I never got an answer, but starting a new culture with your children, and it could be with a bunch of the things that your family done. Just yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, excuse me, things of this nature. We don't even get that out of our children no more. Some of us still don't do it to our own parents. One of those little small things. Say again, Ross.
No, I said that's very true. I like the codes that you're talking about, because they're similar to some of the codes I've implemented as well. I remember when my son was really young, we used to walk to this Trinidadian restaurant down the street from where we lived in Jersey City. And I remember the owner of the place stopped me, and he said, "Wow, the people of your generation have no manners. It's great to see that your mother raised you with some brought up seed," which means just raise you with respect. Because he was like, he looked at me kind of shocked when I walked in the store, because I was saying please and thank you. And I'm just like, well, that's how I was raised. Like, I don't know how else to talk to you. You know what I mean? But he was able to recognize that, and because it was a long time since he had seen that from someone of my age at the time. And I was in my early 20s. So, you know, that code can carry you a long way if you apply it every day. Just be consistent, and it'll become second nature. But go ahead, finish talking to us about your code, but I just had to interject that just so people could kind of see how it works in real time.
Yes.
Because these little things can help. So go ahead, continue, please.
No, it'll just be adding on to what you're saying. Just teaching them that. Because what we do, We get into it with each other all the time. If we could just start doing that with our children, a lot of different things would change. For all of the, if you're a Christian, if you're an African spiritualist, you Muslim, whatever religion you practice, like Scotty says, if you're an atheist, you practicing a religion or not believing. So whatever religion you...
I like that, Scotty.
What if we start following those directions? Because a lot of us claim this particular religion as if it's a set.
it's gang stuff.
So,
it's like,
you know,
it's straight gang stuff. That's how we've been groomed.
And I say all of that to say this. We smile at these suspects all the time, but we're constantly mean mugging our own people. I mean, if anybody else has anything to add to that or to disagree, the mic is open. But I think those are some of the first things. Ross, hold on. I think those are some of the first things that we need to address. Like I stated, with the children, you can't do nothing to a grown adult. You might end up fighting. But your nieces, your nephews, your grandchildren, these are things that you could implement as far as all of us doing something personally. But go ahead, Ross.
Yeah, it's funny. You just reminded me of something, an experience I had this morning. Because when I leave my house, I'm pretty much like my face is just straight and I'm very alert and just I function like I'm behind enemy lines. So my whole attitude is quite military tight when I leave. And I'm traveling to and from work, and I'm just out. So this morning, I just had the straight stone face, and I got on the train. And there was this, I was getting up to get ready to get off the train at Penn Station. And as I'm walking to the staircase, because it's like a two-level train for New Jersey Transit that I take, and there was this sister sitting right before I get to the staircase. She was sitting in the last seat on the right side in the aisle I was walking down. So I got the straight face, stone face, and I'm walking to get ready to get off the train. And then her and my eyes meet, and I crack into a smile. And she immediately just beamed. And I said, good morning. And then she just looked at me. She like gave me teeth. You know what I mean? And she said, good morning. I said, you have a good afternoon, sis. She said, thank you. And then just that gesture, that. I didn't frown. I didn't keep the stone face. I immediately gave her that connection, that. Matter of fact, Dr. Joy DeGree talked about that. The woman who researched the epigenetics of post-traumatic slave syndrome and did all her thesis and study on that.
I know you're talking about.
She talked about when she went to Ghana for a visit, and she's been there many times, but when she first went there, she said one thing that she does is, I think she's a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I think she's a psychologist. And she studies people and like just the people around her, how they relate to each other, how they interact. And she said a major difference of what she saw in Africa, in Ghana specifically, which I've heard other people express in other parts of Africa, that she said we don't do here, is that there was a term that they would say in the con to each other. She saw it in the air. She saw it at the bank. She saw it everywhere, even in the street. They would say, I see you. And she said, when I say I see you, it's not meaning that I physically see you, meaning that I see you into you. You reflect me with that kind of reverence and respect. And she said everywhere she saw that. And she said and she's found out as a doctor that among our people, one of the main parts of our damage and mental illness surrounds the fact of being invisible.
The invisible man.
We're invisible to the people we're invisible to the people that dominate us because they treat us like objects. And I implore everyone to look up Dr. Edward Nichols. He has some of the most brilliant ideas and strategies for counter-racist codification that I've ever come across. You can find them, hopefully they get YouTube working, under Philip Shock Matthews, and just put Edward Nichols. And he gets into the axiology of the epigenetics of our behavior and the behavior of white people and how to mitigate that. And he gives personal anecdotes about how he deals with white people. And this is his phrase. He said, when I'm at work, I'm white. When I come home, I'm black. That is the dual consciousness resurrected that W.E.B. Du Bois spoke about in his book, Souls of Black Folks. That also relates to something that you and I, Jenna, have talked about before, which is code switching. The ability to get on the level of anybody that you're talking to. So in other words, if you are talking to your brother on the corner, you're going to have a certain vernacular you use when you speak to them. When you go to see your doctor and you have to tell them you don't feel well, you're not going to use that vernacular. You're going to talk to them in a way that will resonate with the doctor. And basically teaching our children how to do that, because sadly, racism, white supremacy has created a world in which we can't be ethnically American African. If we speak American African English, we're not going to get a job. But if we speak a de-ethnicized, whiter version of the English language when we go for that job, it'll help us get hired. Sadly, we have to go through these different hoops to make things happen, but these are things that our children don't learn. So when you talked about us not having a culture, I've said that a million times, and I will define what a culture is. For me, in this context, a culture is the ability to, for the parents to understand the world that they live in true reality, and facilitate teaching their children how that world functions and how to best navigate that world so that they can survive to adulthood, to procreate and keep our people going. And we don't teach our children about white supremacy. We teach them that we're in a democracy. Some of us teach our children they're mixed race and they're not black until they encounter a cop who calls them a nigger and tries to kill them or possibly does kill them. So we're not practicing a cultural behavior with our children where we teach them how to survive the world that they're living in. We teach them what it means to be white in the system of white supremacy. We teach them the fact that, wow, you can be a child and just lightly brush up against a white woman and have her sexualize you and say that you attempted to sexually assault her in a store. Black children don't understand that they're not children in the system. We don't teach them that. We don't show them Tamir Rice and say, yes, he was 12 years old, and yes, that officer murdered him in seconds. Didn't even give him a chance to put his hands in the air. That's what happens to us. And we have to learn how to mitigate those circumstances by doing as little as possible to further put our lives in jeopardy. It doesn't mean that it's going to work all the time. Sometimes you got some psychopathic white person who just runs out and just shoots you. You know, we had that with Laquan McDonald, I believe it was. One officer, a bunch of officers there, all of them got guns, but one psychopath just da-da-da-da-da, empties the clip in them. Like, come on. Like, that's crazy. But that's white supremacy. Again, it's a crazy system run by fully mentally ill people, and they have now infected everyone else with their sickness. We are not sick. We were infected by people. So we're carrying something. We're vectors for something that did not really start with us. And we have to now exorcise that. Or we have to now inoculate ourselves as best we can against it. And if we can raise our children in a way in which they are raised to better understand this, we can create a whole new code in one generation. I know I started that with my son. He's now 23. And he thanks my wife and I regularly because he sees the benefit of the way he was raised and how it works in his everyday life. And like you said, Jenna, it's not about religion. The way I look at religion is this. These are my two principles when it comes to religion. And my Nile Valley ancestors have always said, people's ability to interpret, understand, and resonate with the deity is personal. And no person should ever impinge on another person's relationship with their deity. That is an infringement on their rights, number one. Number two, I lost what the number two was. It was something really good, too, but it just slipped my mind. But yeah, your religion is personal. I have no same way who you sleep with is personal. That whatever you do does not impinge on my life. So I have no right to tell you who and what to do or how to do it, and I can't judge you on that. That is not what I was here for. So that I forget the other thing, but that was one of them. But go ahead, Jenna. Maybe it'll come to me later. Go ahead.
Nah, I know it will. But again, we can get away from this, especially the people that listen to Black Talk Radio Network as a whole.
Oh yeah, I got it.
All of the different programs, the different aspects of certain situations, man, they get to hear everything. So they are very, very well informed, and I'm sure a lot of them go out and research this stuff for themselves. It's just about, I think sometimes I know another hard thing that I always tell people when they come and ask me about it. I tell them when they are trying to share their code, you have to know the people that you're trying to pass this on to. That's why I say your nieces, your nephews, your children, your grandchildren. Because grown people going to do what grown people going to do. And I think sometimes we love a person so much, we'll get into a fight with them because you can't help but not understand why they continue to do the wrong things in your mind. During that particular time, we never even think about how we reacted. But these are all pieces of the code that you do this with your children. If you're going to do it with an adult, then know that person. Minimize conflict. It will help. But if you wanted to get a part of this this YouTube video on before we left, I was just letting you know. Go ahead, Ross.
Is working now?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. So yeah, let me just say this real quick. The other thing with religion for me is this, and this is the only opinion that I have on religion. And again, opinions are like anuses. We all have them. Dr. John Henry Clark said this, my Baba, many decades ago, and it's something that's resonated with me my whole life. I'll probably take it with me to my grave. If your religion is not an instrument of your liberation, it needs to be tossed into the ash cans of history. I don't care if you're Christian. I don't care if you're atheist. I don't care if you're Muslim, African spiritualist. Whatever you practice or don't practice should be an instrument of your liberation, whatever it is. Nat Turner is one of the greatest examples of how to turn your religion into an instrument of your liberation. That's why they didn't want us to read. Because when we started to learn what their God said we're supposed to be doing, and we started to understand that they were not doing what their God said, but was trying to force us to worship their God, he had to do something about that. And once he got the proper cosmic signs, he set about his business. And I'm not saying that his way is the way, but I'm saying the concept of something better than what the heck we're dealing with, your religion should supply that in some form or fashion. And you should be working via that vehicle as well as other vehicles to facilitate whatever that vision is. United, independent, counter-racist, abolitionist, anti-human trafficking, let's get it. So yeah, so you got the first one, it would be minute 2 to 17. That's what it was on the first one, if I remember correctly.
No.
It's not working?
The first one is start at minute 15.
Okay. That one I'm thinking is actually minute 2. I think I wrote the wrong thing. Okay. So I would say it's 2 to 17, which is a 15-minute block. Well, it could be 15.
Precedent with the show for those who are under rock.
That sound right?
Yeah. Is that the one with Dr. Badalora?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's try it at 15. Maybe I was right. I don't know. Darn, I'm so mad at myself. I think it might be 17.
Right. Here you go right here.
I really do. Okay.
Limited in how we can make sense of things by our conceptual frameworks. Mm-hmm. And my ability to identify that when I was looking through those laws and white people weren't there then and they were there at this moment, I bet thousands, hundreds of thousands of people may have seen that. But nobody said, wait a minute, maybe white people were invented, right? And why did I get to have that thought? Because social constructionist theory had given me this light bulb, this analytical tool to make sense of it in that way. And that very much grew out of social analysis within the field of sociology. Berger and Luckman are probably the major sources of that. They wrote The Social Construction of Reality. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I don't think there's this intentional hiding part. I think that people are living out these racial biases that we inherited from way long ago and have fed and continue to regularly feed. I'm not trying to suggest that doesn't go on, because of course it does. Mm-hmm, we wouldn't have these different categories of people who are treated so dramatically differently if we didn't continuously feed and support them. So that's a given. But in terms of intentionally hiding, I don't think that's the case. I think you're giving people too much intellectual credit. To be honest,
I think that when you're looking at what you have uncovered by accident, if you will, and even what Theodore Allen and Morgan Edmund. And there's also a lady too. There's a woman who has done this work too. I don't know if she's still with us, that you had mentioned in previous shows. It's something that could possibly threaten the status quo of government.
Absolutely.
Right. So sometimes just knowledge is equivalent to a Bacon's Rebellion.
Absolutely.
So waking up on awareness, like we had Debbie Allen on the show, Waking Up White. We're going to have her come on.
Debbie Irving.
We're going to have her come on with you to talk about writing a white biography. But, when you wake up white, which is interesting, and it's like if enough people wake up white, it shifts the entire functioning of America. It shifts the military. It shifts economics. It shifts everything.
And, because everything was built on white superiority and hiding it as white superiority. Yeah. There's a reason so many people have a hard time saying white privilege or acknowledging having it, right? Because the work of institutionalized white superiority is keeping it just the way it is.
Okay. We're going to stop it right there because we are at the bottom of the hour. We may have to get back into that, but that just goes to show another reason of where we just accept anything. Because check out what was going on in that particular issue. What was her name again? Hold on,
Dr. Jacqueline Battalora, and she wrote a great text. I have it over here somewhere. Let me see if I can put my hands on it. Give me a second. But she has a great text about the history of white people, and it's so well documented. I would suggest everyone read it because I think it'll be a well-deserved treatise. Yes, called Birth of a White Nation, The Invention of White People and Its Relevance Today. And she speaks about literally the invention and creation of white people in 1681. Before that, there was no such thing as white people.
Look,
everyone was
out.
Called by their nationality, and they created this concept. And from what she said, it was the rich people, the people who you don't see, that did it in order to break up poor white and non-white people that were coming together to fight their mistreatment by the richer white people that were here.
Now,
I would implore everyone to read it. But go ahead, Jenna, what were you going to say?
No, that's the whole... That's it. That was a great video to wrap the show up with, because we all get played, and at some point some of us break. But there's a certain sect of people that say that she's practicing white supremacy, passing along this information that a lot of, I'm sure some other black scholars wrote about already, but they couldn't get in. You know, they murder a black man like that. But then we'll get lost. We'll get lost in the without having the message and all of the information that's still being presented. Go ahead, Ross.
Yeah, I was about to say it's about the message, not the messenger. Sometimes there's messages that we will be disappeared for. In other words, there's certain messages we can provide that are accurate and true. And that person will never be seen again. You're like, what happened to Salt? I don't know. It's like one day he was here. He said this, and then we never saw him again. But if a white person says it, not only is it believed, but rejected. And sometimes, and I will tell you this, every group of people that have ever been brought down in some form or fashion, you've always had a fifth columnist in that group. So in order for us to really, really facilitate what we're trying to do, because we don't have the numbers to do any crazy kind of warfare like people talk about, we really don't.
You gotta create some allies.
And we don't have the weaponry or the technology as a people to do any of that. So the thing is that in a situation like this, we're going to need fifth columnists from the enemy, and they will be able to do what she's doing. She's telling the truth. And to me, it's something that maybe black people will listen because she's white and she's saying it. So many of us are so damaged that when black people say it, like you said, write books about it, you know, have college theses on it, it's discarded. But as soon as a white person says it, it's like the Jesus Christ syndrome. Oh, they done, white man said it. It's true. And it works for white people, because white people don't listen to black people and black people don't listen to black people. And about something as important as that, I think that she's the perfect person to say it, because she's lived it and she talks about the whole history of whiteness and how different groups were adopted and brought into whiteness. And once they were brought into whiteness, they practiced white supremacy like the people who allowed them into the quote-unquote club. So this is a psychological mindset. It's a matrix. They've created their own world and their own template for reality and forced everyone else to abide by that. That is real power. When you can dictate reality to someone else and make them think that they're dictating it for themselves. So when you hear black people say, I ain't no victim of white supremacy, ain't no white people victimizing me. They're already creating the reality that white people put in their heads. And like I said, if you just have them talk about their everyday life, you'll be able to pick out points where they're just getting terrorized. But they have the stress markers. They probably have the epigenetic changes from the terror that they're going through. But there's no conscious enlightenment in connecting that to the system of white supremacy. I'm an American.
Hey.
That's the mentality.
Hey,
so,
man.
You know.
That was a great way to close the show out. Thank you once again for joining us every Tuesday
thank
night
you very
at
much.
9 o'clock. That has been our show, Brother Rise. If you would,
yes, sir. Again, like Jenna, I would like to reiterate, thank you very much for spending your Tuesday night with us. It is greatly appreciated. You know, you could be doing other things, and I'm grateful that you find what we do constructive and important.
You've got a great idea.
Tune in. Thanks again, Scotty, for your input. Very, very insightful and very accurate. Tag, again, it's an honor having you on the program. Love to hear what you have to say. Thanks again for your input and insight. Thanks to the other callers and listeners. We'll say the prayer now and close everything out. Creator, we ask that you help us to remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us to remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to create the highest level of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time that we are in contact with another black person. Like Gus always says, it has been time, replace white supremacy with justice ASAP. Let's end prison slavery and stop human trafficking. I am in the love of the all, and all love is in me. I am a part of the all, and the all is a part of me. I am one with the all, and the all is one with me. I can succeed as a part of the all and fail as an individual. I can be all that I wish in the all, as long as my wish is to stay in the all. I am never alone. The all is, I am. The all can, I can. The all does, I do. Peace and love. Thanks again for spending your Tuesday evening with us. Please stay safe. Stay out of the hands of slave catchers. Do everything you can to avoid that. And we'll see you again next Tuesday. Creator willing. One love.
One love. But before I let y'all go, I want y'all to check out this song that I found on YouTube. And it goes right along with part of that code that I challenge you to try. Say something nice to somebody that look like you. If it's an argument, just leave it be. Now check this out. Speaks right to it.
represented, represent the black family. Represented, represent, okay? What it represented, represent the black family. Okay, this part up here, what it represent? The black woman. Okay, the part, the black man. And what you think this right here? This is the boy and this is the girl right here representing the black family. Now I'm going to do it again. What this part represent?
Black man.
No, the woman now. See this part, the whole?
Woman.
The woman. What it represent?
Woman.
This part down here represent the what?
Man.
And this part right here represent what? The children.
Children.
The man, the young boy and the young girl.
Good job, y'all.
All right, black power. Black power.
What what is it do? Who is your crew, red or blue? What do you wear, red, black, and green, like my brothers do? Banners on the scene, hot in the motherfucker, like the troops. Self-defense training, breaking down weapon systems, got a brother feeling bulletproof. But I do not want problems, rather solve them. Calculations, algorithms, absolute. Black fist to the roof, black fist to your tooth. Black fist to anybody that don't want to see this black fist. When you see a black fist saluting, then you lean with it on rock. With it, knock a Trump supporter out they sock with it. If he melanated, then acknowledge it. If she melanated, then acknowledge it. What what you know good, what you doing for the people? What up in your hood, what you doing for the people? What what you know good, what you doing for the people? What up in your hood, what you doing for the people? What what up, big fella? What is the word to measure netta? Reading every single letter, increasing my levels. My sticks for you gins and you devils. P.S. I'm a rebel, and I'm about scheduled to bang on that beast. In the streets, economically, hit him where he do not wanna be. Pan-Africans connected, in and out the country. But it's up to you and me. Holland was happening, was good. Shit, how was the kingdom? Even when you don't wanna speak. Just cause he don't got locks in his head don't mean he ain't wanna weep. But you gon' mug, cause you a thug. You don't give a fuck about black love. Just your Gucci, Louis, and your Jacksons. Not your Africans. What up,
Thank y'all once again for joining us. See y'all next Tuesday. Peace.
What up, What is it do? Who is your Coretta Blue? What do you wear? Red, black, and green, like my brothers do. Banners on the scene, hot in the motherfucker, like some troops. Self-defense training, breaking down weapon systems. Got a brother feeling bulletproof. But I do not want problems, rather solve them. Calculations, algorithms, absolute. Black fist to the roof. Black